Right now, we've got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joining us here in the studio talking books, as always. How are you today?
I'm great. I say sports schmorts. Let's talk books.
Yeah.
Signing day. Who cares?
A lot of people.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, it's like a big money thing. And we were talking about this earlier.
I just wanted
to
say sports schmorts.
Yeah. You can literally say that anytime.
Right.
It doesn't even matter. You can just come on and that can be your tag thing. Sports Schmorts with Susan Brown, talking books,
book
not about
schmucks.
Sports.
Let's talk sports.
There we go. Yeah,
see?
I like that. Yeah, that'll be prime time tonight. So yeah, it's such a huge, big money thing, and they've got they're talking about it on three different TV stations right now, and it's been this big,
yeah.
Huge thing, and there was a press conference and all this hullabaloo and rigmarole and yakety schmackety.
So I'm not gonna name names here, but I do have a friend, a person that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Who is super into the sports schmorts and
yes.
Also does fantasy league football.
Yeah,
which to me is like right up there with all the signing day stuff. I'm sure people are betting and all
of
this.
Oh, absolutely.
And fantasy
yeah.
football, I don't get it.
I don't get it. I know so many people who are like so into fantasy football. I'm like, I just want to watch the game. I don't want to know.
Well,
like,
and so, right. Like
this running back goes for 6 yards and that means I lose.
But now I've discovered, at least for this person
uh-huh.
that I know, fantasy football.
We're going to call this person Susan Brown.
Okay, fantasy football is just about getting together with people and drinking a lot. That's what I've learned.
What isn't?
That's what I've learned about fantasy
that's
football.
That's most holidays.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that many people are getting together and drinking and watching signing day happen.
I have no doubt, yeah. I don't know. I don't know where they would gather. It's like this big get together at Hickory Tavern or something.
Right?
And like the big screen TV is showing signing day. We're getting to that point. I mean, with the NFL draft,
I'm
and the
sure
NBA
that's happening,
draft,
yeah.
And like the Super Bowl media day was just a couple of days ago, and that was this whole big media circus with apparently there were people dressed in costumes who were showing up with microphones and asking
it's
questions
crazy.
At press conferences.
What's the world coming to?
What is the world coming to?
Kids today,
get off my lawn.
They should
lawn.
Be reading books.
Oh my God.
Not watching the sports ball. Okay.
All right.
All right.
Got that out of your system?
Not even close. Not even close. That's
all right.
Why there's next week.
All right. Sports Schmorts with
yes.
Susan Brown every single week here
okay,
at 4:30.
I brought you a gift.
Uh-oh.
Ready?
All right.
Ready?
Wait. Do we have a drum roll? Yes, we do. It's still that really long drum
roll. It's really
roll.
Long.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just had one of those days. It was just a long day. And then I got this at 2:59 p.m. today.
Okay.
From a lovely person named Laura. I'm not going to give her last name.
Okay.
I hope she's listening. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
If you're listening.
If you're listening.
Here we go. I'm only going to read part of it.
Okay.
I stopped by to get a library card yesterday and just wanted to let you know the reasons behind my decision and my experience at CHPL. I asked the lady who helped me get my card to let you know that I love listening to you on the radio with Aaron, and that was the initial reason for coming to the
Yay!
Library, right?
Awesome.
She goes on to say how awesome I am and how nerdy you are, and
no
how
doubt.
Great we are together.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But no, she goes on and talks about that, but I thought that was awesome.
That's
somebody
super cool.
listens to you and me every Wednesday
Thank you,
and
Laura.
Came to the library to get a card. Because of it.
Awesome.
And she's gotten lots of good book recommendations.
That's great.
And, yeah.
So is she cool. she's cleaning out the library right now, even as we speak.
Pretty
right?
much.
Yeah. Getting
and
all
somewhere
the books that
in
we...
it, she talks about both the library and the program that we do. It's that sense kind of like it's her fellow creatures, like
right.
other people out there who read and like to talk about
yes.
books and
yeah,
think
yeah.
that reading is important. So it was pretty cool.
Even. Yeah.
And
awesome.
No, Laura is not the name of my mother or yours, right?
Okay,
this is not our mom.
Not in fact my mother. My mother is Debbie, and hello to her because she's probably listening to this not live but streaming it on Chapelboro later.
Mine's Betty. Hey, Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Betty and Debbie should get together
Betty
with
and
Laura
get
and
together.
Talk about how awesome we are.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure Val and Jackie are listening on their way to such and such. So
who's
they
Val and Jackie?
Do. Who's Val and Jackie? They're only our favorite listeners.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. So there you go.
Well, thank you very much, Laura. And
yes.
I hope a lot of other people out there are just like you. So we're talking books this hour. We have to get to it because yesterday was Groundhog Day.
Yes. My favorite holiday.
My favorite holiday. My
Not
favorite
really.
Bill Murray
just
movie.
Yes. My yeah. favorite Bill Murray movie. Although that's one of those movies.
Oh, that's a good.
A what?
question. What is my favorite Bill Murray movie? I'm probably Lost in Translation, actually. But
oh, that's a great
that's
one.
That's a really good one, yeah.
I do love Groundhog Day, and it's a movie that I love, yet I cannot stand that actress that's in it.
Andie MacDowell?
Yes!
How is she great in Groundhog
Day? She also ruined Four Weddings and a Funeral for me. And I love both of those movies in spite of her.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Honestly,
she's great in the L'Oreal magazine ads.
That's true, yes. I think I've only ever seen Andie MacDowell in Groundhog Day, and I think she's great in Groundhog Day, so as far as I'm concerned, give her all the Oscars.
Okay, it's a great movie, though.
It is a great movie.
And a great holiday.
Yes. And it's a day about, well, it's a movie about repetition. It's a movie about history. It's a movie about time. It's a movie about finding yourself, I guess, and redemption and becoming a better person and whatnot. So we're taking
and weather,
of course. So we're taking Groundhog Day as our suggestion and recommending books that makes us think of. So what do you got? I'm seeing one that I've read recently.
The Stephen King. Somehow we always come back to Stephen King. So all three of mine are pretty closely knit to the Groundhog Day movie concept.
Because
at first I was like, what about, like, could I go with like woodland creatures or weather or Pennsylvania? But all three of mine are all fiction that really play up that, whether it's time travel, repetition, reliving your life. So the first one that came to mind is 11/22/63.
Great book.
By Stephen King.
Yes.
Actually, I want to read it again. I read it when it came out, and it's about to be a TV series.
Yes.
And I want to go back and reread it. But for those who don't know, the gist of it is a time travel novel about going back in time to prevent the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
So there's two main characters who meet like in a GED class, or one's a community college teacher.
Yep. High school, I think.
High school. Yeah. And so they connect, and then they reconnect years later. And one of them has discovered he works in a diner, and he's aging oddly, and he's discovered there's a portal in the diner. Right.
Oh, you're talking about the very beginning of the book.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'm talking about the later main characters. Okay. Yes.
So,
you were right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyways, there's a portal. They discover that he goes back in time, and he's always taken back.
Yeah.
And trying to prevent the assassination of JFK.
Yep.
You've read it more recently, so you can talk
more
about it.
That's it right there. I mean, I don't want to go into much more detail with the plot because there's so much going on. I mean, there's so much history. There's time travel and the repercussions of time travel. And if you fail, you have to go back and start again, and everything resets, kind of.
It's also great. From what I understand, he really meticulously researched it. So the historical detail of it is all there. People that think they don't like Stephen King have liked this book because they think of him as this horror kind of
book.
Genre.
Yeah, right.
Author.
This is not that.
And then some people who I stopped reading Stephen King for a long time after it, just because it scared the bejesus out of me. The clown and the gutter. I still can't walk by storm sewers. But I picked this up. I've been reading.
It's really difficult.
What's that?
Not being able to walk by storm sewers.
Oh, I make like this whole path.
Wow.
Like I walk like 10 paces out.
Okay, that's fine.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That clown.
I've never read it or seen the movie, so.
Wow.
I've seen everything else Tim Curry has done.
If you like storm sewers, if you like walking normally by storm sewers, then don't read or see it.
Storm sewer is the worst Star Wars character.
I don't even know what we're talking about now, Aaron, but if you stop reading Stephen King because you got tired of the sort of horror genre thing, read this book. It's very, very good, and read it before the film, because right up there with Andie MacDowell is James Franco in my book, and I think he's playing the lead character in the TV series.
Yes, you don't like James Franco either? Not a fan?
That's me shaking my head on the
That's
radio.
True, yeah. You can't see it, but she's like, she's gritting her teeth and shaking her head and...
Not so much.
Not the sort of look that James Franco wants to see when people are talking about his film oeuvre. All right, so...
It's your turn.
11/22/63
is great. Can I just stop
for
just a second? This is going to be a really random conversation. Can you say that word again?
Oeuvre?
Oeuvre.
Yeah.
That's one of those words that you read, but you rarely hear pronounced.
Yeah.
Oeuvre.
I might be wrong.
Oeuvre. Okay.
It's French for egg.
There we go. Okay.
Okay. So mine, I was thinking about things repeating over and over.
Is yes.
What spurred my thinking. And the first one, got a shout out to Fun Home, first of all, because if we're talking about central rural Pennsylvania,
right.
Punxsutawney and Beach Creek are not far away. So my obligatory Fun Home recommendation, but that's not on my list. Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut.
There you go.
Second favorite Kurt Vonnegut book, I think. Sirens of Titan has got to be up there too, after Cat's Cradle, but Slaughterhouse-Five is great, and it's about, is it the opposite of Groundhog Day? Like this, in Groundhog Day is a
right.
guy who keeps reliving the same day over and over again and can't get unstuck, and then Slaughterhouse-Five is a guy who does get unstuck and can't get restuck.
Can't get restuck,
yeah. So
I like that.
Very similar and yet completely the opposite, but amazing Kurt Vonnegut book, and it's about time, and it's about time travel. But it's also about war and the human condition and everything else. So,
oh, that's a good segue.
Yeah.
So the other one the second one that I brought, speaking of war,
mm-hmm.
Is a book called Life After Life by an author named Kate Atkinson. And I got to know her through her. She writes a series of sort of literary detective novels. The first one was Case Histories, which PBS Masterpiece made into a series.
Mm-hmm.
There's three or four in that series. And then her first book was Behind the Scenes at the Museum, which is a great novel. But she really got known recently for her book called Life After Life. And it's
big,
honking fat novel.
Yeah.
And it is the same type of thing. So the main character is born in 1910. Her name is, I think, Ursula Todd.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives her life. And she dies, and she's born again. So you go through, she dies in a variety of ways, but she's always reborn into the same family.
Okay.
So you trace not only her choices, but the history of the 20th century. So it goes from the Blitz to, I think in the opening of it, so I'm not ruining anything, because this happens in the first couple of pages. But in the opening scene, there's a scene where someone shoots Adolf Hitler.
Oh.
And so that's the type of thing, like what ifs, and what if I'd gone here.
So she goes back and she's like the same starting point,
she's
and
reborn.
Then her choices go off. And
she's born into the same family and all of that. And it's very literary and beautiful. Sounds very kind of cliche, but it's mm-hmm. so well done. And I think she wrote a follow-up similar to that, or carrying on one of the stories. So that's Kate Atkinson. Life After
Kate
Life.
Atkinson. All right. I'm going to have to check that one out. So my second one is, I was thinking about it. We were trying to bandying about ideas for what we should talk about today, and the Iowa caucus came up, so I sort of had that on the brain while simultaneously thinking about things repeating over and over again. So what sort of political history are we repeating or reliving? And it reminded me that I don't think I've ever recommended this book, but it's a really, really good book about the rise of Barry Goldwater in 1960. 64, and sort of along with that, the rise of sort of the modern right wing of the Republican Party and the way that it shifted in the early to mid into the late 1960s. The book is called Before the Storm by Rick Perlstein.
Rick Perlstein,
great writer. He writes for The Nation. He's written for a whole bunch of stuff. And if you're listening and you're a conservative, you think, oh, he wrote for The Nation, therefore this is going to be a liberal biased book. He does come at it from a perspective, but it's actually a really well-researched it's not a political screed by any stretch of the imagination. Like, it's a really good story about the rise of the Goldwater movement in the early 60s, the 64 election, and then sort of hinting at how things continued to develop after that. And great book about sort of a grassroots movement that takes over a political party.
And it's called
not
what?
Not too far from what we're seeing today. Before the Storm is the title.
Because only you, Aaron Keck, would go from Groundhog Day to Barry Goldwater.
That is true, yes.
It's like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but with Barry Goldwater.
Yeah, and in this case, just one. Groundhog Day makes me
Alrighty.
Think of Barry Goldwater.
There we go.
Great book. Check it out.
And Rick Perlstein, I can't think, he's written a lot
Nixon
of...
Nixon Land, I think, is another one that he's written.
Yeah.
I haven't read it, but yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So the last one I brought is one of my all-time favorite books.
Okay.
And I checked before I came, and we did not have it in the collection. So I went to Tracy, our acquisitions and collections manager.
It's one of your all-time favorite books, and you didn't have it at the collection at the library that you run?
We didn't. So I went, and I said, Tracy, can I verbally make a purchase suggestion? Because anybody can do that on our website if you're out there listening.
Right.
Anytime that we don't have a book you want, you can suggest that we purchase it. We may or may not do it, but oftentimes we do.
And you listen, at least.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So I said, I'm going to recommend this book on the radio, and I love to recommend it to people. I would bring my own personal copy from home, but it's a book that I give away to people all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's now, as we speak, as I was walking away, she was putting the record in the catalog.
Nice.
So it will be
soon.
So
it's there.
Drum roll. Don't do the drum roll. No, I'm kidding. Don't do it. Don't do it. It is called Replay by Ken Grimwood. I may have talked about it on the show before. It's kind of this cult sleeper fiction novel from, I believe it was written in the early 80s. Some people say that Groundhog Day was inspired by this, that the movie Groundhog Day was inspired by this book. But the gist of it is the main character, Jeff Winston, he's like in his 40s. He's a radio guy.
Okay.
He's a radio, I forget if he's the host or what he is. But he dies. He has a heart attack and drops dead at age 43.
Okay.
And he wakes up in his 18-year-old body.
Okay.
And he has his whole life to live again. Hmm. But he also maintains all of the knowledge of what's going to happen.
Does he always die at 43? Like, does he get 25 years? Okay.
Yes. So it's great because the first couple passes of it, he runs through and he, like, bets on the World Series,
right?
He marries he goes after the girl, the one that got away. Then it takes some darker turns where he finds somebody else who is also doing this, and they are not the best type of person out there and what's going on. And then in the end, he finds love.
Uh-huh.
And it's science fiction, it's intriguing history, it's literary, it's a love story. It's such a good book. Replay by Ken Grimwood. It will be in the catalog, or it's in the catalog now, and it's on order.
All right, sounds good.
Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Tracy. And that's actually a pretty good segue into my last one, which is, I think, a book that I've recommended before, but again, thinking about sort of jumping into a different body and living your life and gradually finding love and finding a purpose for jumping around, which is Every Day by David Levithan.
It's
a young adult novel. It's, again, kind of the opposite of Groundhog Day, because Groundhog Day is a guy who, like, wakes up the same morning in the same body, and this is a character who wakes up every morning in a different body.
Right.
So, like, takes over someone's life for a day, and then the next day wakes up in a completely different body and just continues living his or her or its life, because it's not really a specified gender. Like, one day it'll be a boy, one day it'll be a girl. Always the same age, so he ages with the people that he was born with. And eventually falls in love with someone and has to pursue that while jumping from body to body every single day. So
that makes me think, with my boys who've been on the show, you've met my children.
Yep.
They're 7 and 10, or no, sorry, they're 11 and almost 8.
And live to tell the tale. Yeah.
That's right. We often have the conversations about what superpower would you want if you could have it, right?
Yep.
Invisibility, flying. That's not one jumping around from body to body that I would want, right?
I was going to say, even if you could control it, that's not something that I don't know what I would do with that.
Right,
That would be awkward. But for this character, there's no control. Like, wakes up in whatever body the world decides to assign him to, so.
I haven't read that one.
It's
heard good
really
things
good
about
book.
It, but I haven't read it.
I saw it recommended, or a review of it in, like, Time Magazine or something like that. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then I saw it in the bookstore one day, like, not long after. I was like, oh, I'll pick that up. And I started reading it. And I think I got 100 pages into it before it dawned on me that I was reading a young adult novel, because the line is so blurry. Like, there's
that's
really
great.
Not much of a difference. But it's a terrific book. And he's a great writer. He's written a couple of other really cool things, too. So anyway, that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Can I play the drum roll now?
No. No, you can't do it. No more. It's too long.
All right. Before we let you go, we got to in a second, expanding hours. Can you talk about
that? Yes. We're super excited about that. We are. We think we're going to be able to add between 4 and 6. We don't know for sure how many. Per week,
yeah.
We're not sure when yet. Thanks to some work that we've done over the last couple of years, we are able to add some more hours. within our current budget. So we're super excited. Right now, we are running a community survey about when would you prefer us to add hours, weekday mornings, weekday evenings, weekend mornings, weekend evenings. We're going to take that with some data and then look at staff schedules and staff capacity and who can do what when and put all that in the pot, stir it around, and make a decision.
All right.
So we hope to have more hours on the books probably in early to mid-March.
Okay. So you can go to the website right now and the community survey's there?
I hope it's on our website.
All right.
If not, we also have paper copies out there. It's on the Facebook and the Twitter. Or you can just shoot me an email like Laura did.
Sounds good. So if you want to weigh in on when you want to see the library open extra every week, do any of those things and let them know. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.